B'shem Hashem, Keil Olam, in the name of Hashem, the God of the world, as the Pasuk says, until Oidcho B'yosha Levavai, I will give thanks to you with the upright of the heart, B'lamdi Mishpatei Tzedkecha, when I learn the judgments of your righteousness. Be'ez Hashem as well, we begin Sefer Shleisha Asa, the 13th out of the 14 of the Sefer Yad HaChazaka of the Mishnah Torah, B'hu Sefer Mishpatim, and that is the book of judgments, which is really three out of the four books that are on this topic of the Nezikim, damages, kinyan, acquisitions, Mishpatim, the one we're up to now, and Shaiftim, which Halchais of Chamesh, their laws are five, Vezev Sudarin, and there's five halachas in this Sefer. Hilchaschiris, the laws of hired labor. The second one is Hilchas She'elo Pekadin, the laws of borrowing and of deposits. Hilchas Ma'al B'Leiva, the laws of the lender and the borrower. Hilchas Toim Benitin, the laws of the claimant and the defendant. And Hilchas Nechalas, the laws of inheritance. And with that, we begin the first out of the five halachas, Hilchaschiris, the laws of a hired person, which yesh b'chlon sheva mitzvos. In the category, there's seven commandments. Shalosh mitzvos haseh, three positive commandments. Va'arba mitzvos leseh, and four negative prohibitions. These are the specifics. Aleph, number one, din sachar, the law of the hired laborer. B'shemer sachar, the one who's getting paid to watch something. Beis, number two, li'in schar sachar b'yem, to give the wages of the hired laborer in the day that he works. Gimel, number three, shalei achar schar sachar achar zman, not to delay the payment of the wages for the hired laborer after his time, after he finished his designated time of getting paid. Dal number four, sheyechel asachem na mechub b'shaisabay, that the hired worker should eat from what is attached from the ground when he's doing the work. Hey, number five, now shelo yechel asachem na mechub b'shas malacha. However, the hired labor should not eat from what's connected during the time he's actually doing the work, meaning and that the work is not done yet. Vav number six, shelo yechel asachem biyadoy, that the hired labor should not take in his hand yosam asheyechel more than what he's going to eat. And Zion, the Mesemesh, Le'yachsim Shor, one should not muzzle an ox, B'dishay, when it's doing its threshing. Ubeir Mitzvah Eilu, the explanation of these commandments is B'parokim Eilu, in these chapters, where there are 13 chapters. The first we discuss the laws of the Shemrim, of those who are guardians, those who are custodians. Perek 4, Dal to Zion discuss regarding the rental of an animal and of one's house. Perek Ches discusses the renting out of fields. Perek Tes, to his base, discusses regarding the hiring of workers and of craftsmen, and Perek Gimel discusses that of Leisachsim Shabbadishai, that of not muzzling the ox while it's doing the threshing. And that would begin Perek Rishon, the first chapter, which discusses this of what's called as the Arba Shemrim, the four types of guardians and their laws. As Rambam gives Halacha Aleph regarding these Arba Shemrim and their responsibilities. So Arba Shemrim Nem B'Torah, there's four types of custodians, of guardians that are mentioned in Torah. Shleish Adin Yeshlem, and two of them share the same one. So there's three laws out of these four Shemrim. What are the four types of custodians? Are Shemachinim, the unpaid guardian. Bashel, the one who is borrowing. Obviously, he also has to guard it as when he borrows the item. B'nei Sesacha, the one who gets paid to watch what he's watching. V'asecher, and the one who is a renter, renting that object. Halacha Beis. V'eilohin Shlesha Dinin Shalem. These are the three laws that come out of these four types of Shemrim. So you have Shemachinim, you have the unpaid custodian. Shenignim ha'bekad mimenu. If the deposit gets stolen from him, or gets lost, you don't have to say that if something beyond his control of the deposit happened, it was very great circumstances, let's say it was an animal, the mason that died, obviously beyond his control, or was taken in captivity. So he swears that he watched it the way a guardian would normally watch something important. He's exempt. Shlomo says in the Pasuk, meaning as long as it wasn't negligent. And like it says in the Pasuk, and if it's going to be stolen from the house of the man, etc. So it says in the Pasuk, where there's different psukim, where it's referring to different types of shemrim, and that the homeowner comes to the judges, and he swears, and he's let off the hook. Hashel, the second category slash din, is Mishal Makal, the borrower pays for every circumstance. Bein sha'avad davar sha'al, whether the borrowed item gets lost, or negative, or gets stolen. Bein sha'idah on his godmazer, even if a mishap that's greater beyond his control than that. If let's say the borrowed animal just dies, or gets an injury, or gets taken there by captivity, he's liable. Because that's what the Pasuk says regarding the borrower. It says, v'nishbar, if it's going to break, or mace, or die. But if he doesn't have the exemption, as we're going to explain later on, of having the owner with him, shalom, yishalom, he should surely pay. So he has to pay in all circumstances. The fourth, the third category, which are the last, the remaining two types of shemim, is nisi sachar, the paid custodian, and oy hasachar, or the renter. Shneim dinechad yeshlam, they both have the same halacha. If nignavoy, of it, if it gets stolen or lost, Hadavar Hasachar, this rented item, Aishanatl Sachar Ashmirasi, or this guardian who's getting paid for watching this item. Hadayel Mashalim, they have to pay if it gets what's called Gneva Veda, stolen or lost. Now, Vimeiro, Oinus Gardam is a bit of something that beyond his control more than something being stolen or lost. Kugan Chase the Behemoth, let's say it was an animal, the Mason had died. A Nishbror got an injury, a Nishbror was taken captivity, a Nitrifor, let's say it was mauled by another wild animal. Hadayel Nishbor and Shenensa, so these two types of Shemim. They swear that it was an oinus beyond his control. But during them, they're going to be exempt. Shemekah says in the Pasig, Umeis, if it dies, a nishbar, if it breaks, a nishbar, or taking captivity, in right, no one saw. Shvus Hashem, begoimer, so he takes an oath of Hashem, etc. Like it says in the, so you see that there are cases that he swears to exempt himself, which is like by an oinus. But at the same time, the Pasig says, Vim gonim yignim me, but if it gets stolen from him, Yisham leval begoimer, he has to pay to the owners. So, Nimtes Omer says, Ram, it comes out like you say like this. Shemechinem, the unpaid custodian, Nishba alakol, he swears regarding everything that he's let off the hook. The Hashayel, the borrower, Misham is a kol, he has to pay for every situation. Chutz min ha-meisa b'shas malach, except actually if it dies during the work that it's doing. Like we're going to explain later on in the first parak in Hilchos Shelah B'Kadin Halacha Aleph. But barring that, he's liable for every case. Now, Noisisacha b'aseicha, the true meaning shemim, the one who gets paid to watch, and the renter, mishamas, they're somewhere in the middle. Mishamas abeidu b'zegneba, they have to pay if it gets lost or stolen. But, v'neshboin ala nasa magdelem, for a great oinus, something beyond his control, they swear to say that that was the circumstance, and then he's exempt. Kukun shvuro, let's say if it breaks, or shvuyo, take captivity, or mace, or if it dies, or trepo, or is mauled by another animal. Let's say the item got lost in a ship that sank at the sea, or was taken by armed bandits, and anything similar like one of these great types of einsim, they would be off the hook for that type of situation. Halacha Gimel. Now the Rambam talks about an interesting exemption where if, let's say, the person was being a shamer with the owner there. That is, hamafkir is l'chaver. Someone deposits something by his friend. Ben b'chinam, ben b'sacha, whether he does it for, without pay or for pay, or if he lends it to him or he rents it to him, those are essentially the four types of shemim. So im shol hashemer sabolim, im hadover shalehen. Now, if let's say the shemer borrows the owner with his item, not necessarily in the work itself of that item itself, whatever type of work, he borrows, he asks the owner to help him with something, oischaron, or he rents him as a worker with the item that he's watching for him, so that will actually let off the custodian off the hook from everything. Even if he was negligent for the item that he was watching, and he got lost because of his negligence, Harish the pot is going to be exempt. Why? Because it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, "Im ba'ol of ima, if its owner is with him with the shomer, lo yishalom, he's not going to pay. Im sachuhu babeschare, if he's a hired laborer, comes with his being paid as a laborer." So we see that if the owner is with him, the shame is off the hook. The medrum, when we say this, is kashal haba'alim, oischaran, it's only if he borrowed the owner for his services or he rented him for his services, be'eshanot l'achibis, at the same moment when he took his object to watch for him, whether getting paid or not, like we said. Afa pish'in haba'al misham imay be'esak neva v'aveda. Even if the owner is not there at the time when it actually gets lost or stolen, or be'eshananus, or when the oinus happens. As long as he was there, it would happen at the same time. He took him and his object at the same time. Let's say he took the object. And therefore he first became a shamer on the guy's object. And then he rented the services of the owner or he borrowed him. And that is, even if the owner was there at the time when the oinus was there of the watched item, it doesn't make a difference. He's going to have to pay. Because the pasuk says, there's two different verses. This pasuk says, Bal of Einimoy, the owner's not with him, Shalom Yisham, he has to pay. So, Mipiyah Shemu Lamda, from tradition, they learned that there's one pasuk that's telling us that if the owner's with him, he's going to be exempt. And there's another pasuk that says his owner's not with him, he has to pay. Which teaches us, it depends. If he was with him during the time of the borrowing, even though he's not there at the time when he gets stolen or dies, he's going to be exempt. That was the first pasuk. If he's with him, he's exempt. If he wasn't with him at the time of the borrowing, and that's what the second pasuk is referring to. Even though he was with him at the time of the death or the captivity, Chayiv is going to be liable. And Bo'adin L'Shar Hashem, the same goes to other guardians. Shekulim Baba'olim, all of them, if the owner is with him, Peturin is exempt. Even if there's negligence when he has the owner with him, Pater is going to be exempt. Again, as long as he was with him at the time of the She'ela, or whatever type of Shaymer he is, and not necessarily at the time when the situation happened. Halacha Dalek continues regarding what happens if a shomer gives it over to another shomer. So kol shomer, any guardian, shepasha b'tchilasa, who, if initially he was negligent, although it ends up being an oinus at the end, chayv is going to be liable k'mash shesbar, like we can explain in the fourth parak in Hechel Shele B'kod, Halacha Gimel. Now, moreover, ve'ina shele b'shay lehashal. Actually, a borrower is not allowed to lend it out to someone else. I feel the shol say, but even if he borrowed a Torah scroll, which generally someone wants a mitzvah to be done with his Torah scroll, Shakal Shakar Bois, the mitzvah, whoever reads from it, is doing a mitzvah. No, Loyashtun La'achar, he's not allowed to lend it out to someone else. Vechin so to Ena Seichar, Rashai La'askir. A rent is not allowed to rent it out to someone else. I feel like Skiris Sebetur, again, even if we rent from him as a Torah scroll, Loyashtun La'achar, he shouldn't rent it out to someone else. Why? Sharazay Oimele, because the only could tell him, look, Ingrid Sein Hashibak Din Mi'aracha, I don't want my deposit to be in the hands of anyone else. I trusted you, but no one else. So therefore, he's not allowed to rent it or lease it out to someone else. Let's say the guardian violated this precept, and he did give it over to his second guardian. Now, it depends. If there's witnesses that could testify that the second guardian protected Kederach Hashem in the way normal guardians protect it, and then this and this happens, okay, then Patra Hashem Arishin. And the first guardian will be exempt. Because ultimately, the witnesses to say that even though it was by some other Shema, it was an Einus that you're exempt for. But Vim Ainshem Edim. But if there's no witnesses, and hence there's a liability of an oath to say, oh, it was an Einus to get off the hook, then Chayiv Hashem HaRishon L'Sham Labon. In that situation, even though it was an Einus, the first Shemer has to pay up to the owners. Why? Because he gave it over to his another guardian. And let him go ahead and litigate with that second shomer to make him swear Shavuos Hashem to him. Now, Afila, as we're going to explain, he cannot mandate an exemption from the second shomer to the original owner. And moreover, he says Afila hay rishon shomer chinam. Even if, let's say, the first guardian was only an unpaid custodian, which doesn't have that much responsibility, and he gives it over to a guardian that's actually getting paid for his services, which actually is adding level to the shmirah, because the shemesacher is chayev to protect more than the shemachinim, he has to protect from geneva and aveda, which he's liable for. Even so, chayev, the first shem is going to be liable to the owner. Why? Because the owner, the object, could tell him, he says, look, at the shemachinim, although you're only an unpaid guardian, I trust you to swear to me. And therefore, I entrusted by you, even though I know situations you'll swear to try to get off. Fine, I believe you. I don't believe him. And I never give you rights to give it over to him. So the fact that he's coming to swear, I don't have to accept that. And you owe me that money. Now, the figure, therefore, however, if the way of the owner was lahafkid tamad davazel, that he actually would also occasionally, at times, deposit this item, by the second guardian, then harizah shem harishon patam l'sham. So then the first guardian is exempt from paying. Because they can tell the owners, this item that you deposited by me, or that we borrowed, yesterday or the day before, you would yourself deposited by him. It's not like you don't trust him. You do trust him, because although you deposited by me now, but the other day was by him. Now, v'hu, this that we said, that if the original owners were deposited by the second shomer, then the first guy would be left off the hook. Is only shlo yimayit b'shmiras. It's only if he's not diminishing the amount of the shmira. So kitzad yimayit b'shmiras. What would be considered diminishing the shmira, the protection that the first guy would be liable, even though the owners usually give it over to the second shmira themselves? Is kikoyin shayim mufkid esle b'sacher. For example, let's say it was deposited by the first shmira for wages, for payment. So a seicher to a hired laborer like a shmira sacher, they're liable geneva v'aveda. Now he deposited by the second shomer for free without getting paid, which is a lesser. Let's say the first guy was borrowing it. Now he gave it to that second person for just getting paid wages. He's diminishing the shmira because he had a higher responsibility which requires a higher level of protection, and he's giving over to someone with a lower level. Then Peshehu, that's a negligence, because the one who's watching is watching with a lesser severity. And therefore he has to pay, even if the second guy claims it was an Einus, where the first one wouldn't be Chayiv, he still has to pay. Because Afa Peshehu, and this is even if he borrowed or rented with the owner, which we said in Halacha Gimel, that if a person is even negligent, but if he has the owner with him, he's going to be Potter, where the Torah exempts him all types of payment, But ultimately, he took out the protected item from his possession and gave it to that other shomer. And the halacha b'shiba b'ayim exempts only from situations that happen when it's in domain of the first shomer who the owner was rented or borrowed for together with his animal. Does not exempt from situations that happen by the second shomer. Halacha hey. Now, v'mhevi ha'shomer hasheni, if the second shomer brings ha'ra'oya proof, that would exempt if it was by the first shomer, according to the requirements that he has for his shmira, then there is a pata. Then the first shomer will be exempt. Kitzur hazo. So if, let's say shomer sacha, let's say a paid custodian, so although he's going down, which we said in the previous halacha is going to be chayev, he gave over the protected item to an unpaid custodian. But if let's say the second custodian brings witness to Shemesh Abayim Kedarka that the animal died in its normal way, which is an oinus, which the Shemesh Sarkar is exempt for, which is the first Shemer, then that Reha Shemer Rishon Potter. So the first Shemer is going to be exempt. Bechen Kogetz was saying things like that because it has nothing to do, ultimately, it was something that he's exempt for. Halacha Vav. Shemesh Shemasla Shemesh Acher. So if you have one custodian who gives it over to another custodian, for example, let's say if they only give permission for him to give it over and protect it by someone else. Now, Vahaysa Bishmirase. And they actually added on by the second person, a higher level of shmira, v'meisa, and it dies. So what ends up being is actually ha'anola boilam. The benefit is going to go to the original owners, where you'll have a loss, where the second one is going to have to pay, and the first one would be exempt. The benefit goes to the owner. As the Rambam says, case of household, so he explains. Hasecha par mechaber. Someone is renting a cow from his friend. V'yishi l'ach, and he lends it to someone else. V'meisa kedarka, b'yad ha'shel, and dies in a normal way in the hands of the borrower. Now, since the borrower is liable for everything, even the situation of oinus, which the first shomer, who is only a soicher, is actually not chayiv in oinus when it dies. This situation, the shoyel is chayiv, yachziru demei hapar labalam. They have to give back the shoyel, the value of the cow, to the original owners. What do you mean? Why? The soicher could say, well, I rented, we're potter from mesa. This guy borrowed it from me, he's chayiv in oinus, he should pay it to me. Says Ram Noshe, in zaha soicher, this renter cannot be oisus schoicher, he can't be doing business, but barasa shachaber was his friend's cow. He's renting it, and now he's going to make money off it because it died by the one that he lent it to? That can't work. The chen creates with anything similar to this, the benefit's going to go to the original owner. Let's say in his hand was a deposit. He was watching it for someone else. Ushlocha biaracha, now he sent it with someone else. Labala back to the owner. Now, hoilva shemarishan chai bachar yose, since the first custodian is responsible for its insurance. Actually, gilei out of bailam until it comes to the hand of the owner, because he didn't tell him to give it to that person, like we said. The shomer is not allowed to give it over to anyone else. So in bolach, so therefore, if the first shomer wants to back out from what he gave to the second shomer to bring it back, ulahachzah b'kod miyad shomer sheni had to give back the deposit from the hand of the second shomer, machzer, he could back out. In other words, it has not left his domain yet, and the owner has not merited the deposit, this that he gave over to a shliach, because we say he doesn't want to have his deposit by any other third party, so that it doesn't remove the responsibility from the first shomer. But let's say the first shomer has already been established to be a denier in this deposit, where the owner had already claimed give it back to him and they denied it, then he cannot back out from the deposit in the hands of the second shomer. In this situation, obviously we would understand that the owner actually would not want it to be by the first shomer. Even though the deposit is still the responsibility and the insurance of the first person, but in this situation, you can't say that the owner wouldn't want it to be with him unless he wants it, because the guy's denying it, and if and then he cannot back out from what he already gave to the second shomer.